What's up, people listening on Shady Pines Radio or anywhere else on the internet? I'm J.E. representing the High Life Show. This episode was recorded in early December, and we discussed topics such as a sex jar of sorts, restaurant etiquette, COVID vaccines before the rollout, as well as our usual segments, Classy Humans of the Week, as well as the Low Lives, and everything in between. More new content is our gift to you guys around the holidays, and we appreciate your continued support. This is The High Life.
Yo, what's going on, PDX? What's going on, Internet? This is Feeve Boogie. I have here with me Big Booza, Love and Bass, Cash, my guy J.E., and we are The High and Low Lives, and this is The High Life Show. Hope you guys have been doing well. Hope you've been staying safe, social distancing. There's a big fucking resurgence going on right now with COVID. This pandemic seems to be never ending. But nonetheless, we're here, and we hope that you're all doing all right. It is Sunday, the Lord's Day, December the 6th, 2020. And let's just get into it. You know, I always got to do a wellness check with these guys, you know, myself included. You know, we're living in turbulent times. Bass, what's going on with you, man? How's life out there in Portland?
It's good. Nothing new. Things are still shut down.
Staying out of trouble, man.
Trying, you know.
Good.
That's it for me.
It's good to know, you know. Boozer, what's up with you, man?
Nothing much, man. Just chilling, trying to stay safe.
That's what's up. Young Cash, what's up with you, man? I like the New York shirt. Is that a New York Knicks shirt?
Hell no.
Giants.
New York Giants.
First in the NFC East, baby. Go get you, Joe.
What's the record?
3-4-7. 3-7. 4-6. Who knows?
4-7, I think.
4-7. Under 500, still making the playoffs.
I know. Right?
Exactly. You know, hood rich shit. Dangerous.
Stay dangerous. Jay, what's good, man? Digging the Shady Pines Radio paraphernalia.
Rapping. You know what I mean? You know,
another t-shirt to circ80shoes.com.
Oh, you're one of those.
Bing!
Yeah,
good. Advertising. Nah, everything is good out here where I'm at, man. I ain't got no concerns. School's almost over. Last final exam's going to be on Wednesday, and then I'm going to live my best life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. How long are you going to be off for?
Till February 1st.
Tremendous, man. Well-deserved break. This guy's working around the fucking clock, being studious. I don't know how he does it. I don't know. But kudos to you, sir. No Adderall, no Coke, no none of that shit.
That's all the straight. Don't say that.
None of that. Pure hard work and dedication. Cheers to you, sir. Cheers to you.
Appreciate that. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm doing good. I can't complain. It's been a good week. I mean, work week was kind of, you know, intense. Lost a lot of sleep, but regained that back over the weekend. Slept good. My girl and I, we went and rode bikes yesterday, so got some exercise in and all of that. You know, eating good, drinking good, sleeping good. I'm good, bro. I can't complain. I'm just happy to be here. Happy to be well and alive. That's right. You know. But appreciate you for asking. But yeah, let's get into it, man. Sports. You know, NBA is going to start up pretty soon, and there's been a lot of movement going on there. I know in previous episodes we were talking about a lot of trades and whatnot. But there's, I mean, you can call it somewhat of a blockbuster trade that took place. Russell Westbrook of the Houston Rockets is going over to the Washington Wizards, and in exchange, Houston is getting John Wall. So that's a it's a pretty big trade. I think Westbrook, I mean, he's had his issues. I think he had COVID, and I think he dealt with an injury. But, you know, I think he started picking up the pace and getting back to it. And I know Wall, I think he's been out for a while now, right, with like an Achilles injury, I want to say. Or is it something else?
Yeah, I think it was – there were two. One of them was the Achilles. Mm.
So how do we think Wall is going to fit into the dynamics of the Houston Rockets with if Harden does stay there?
I mean, I think it'll be – I mean, I've been playing NBA 2K, and I've been playing with that team more often now.
You would have the expert analysis now.
So, Mr. 2K. They got Boogie on there now. And they got John Wall. It just it spreads out the floor because now you have because Russell Westbrook is a shoot like a streaky shooter, but John Wall is a more consistent 3-point shooter. So like he can also drive the ball and he's one of the fastest like guys in the NBA, like we've yeah. talked about. So like it adds another element that they haven't had in a while. Like it's
and Dan Tony's the coach over there, right?
No.
Not anymore.
On the game, it's a black guy, like a younger black guy. I don't know who it is.
Okay. No, because I was gonna say like that probably would mesh well into his offensive style of coaching, but it's not him no more. But yeah, I agree. Like John is lightning fast.
Yeah.
And I think him and Harden will make a good combo. Yeah. It'll be less fighting over the ball.
Yep.
Steven Silas is the Rockets head coach. Oh,
thank you,
Boozer. Who?
Steven Silas.
Oh yeah, I didn't know who that was in the video. I'm like, who's that guy? That doesn't look like Dan Tony.
he was an assistant with the Mavericks for the last 2 years.
Where's Dan Tony now?
Brooklyn Nets.
Oh,
is he?
He's an assistant coach. Yes. Yeah, we talked
about
that.
He's a real coach.
Yeah, he is. They're gonna be running that Rockets offense.
But wait, isn't Jason Kidd like the coach there now, or where's Jason Kidd at?
Nash.
Nash. That's right, Steve Nash.
Yeah, come on. The whole Suns team from the early 2000s is basically coaching the Nets now. You got Amari Stoudemire there as well.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
And then Jacques Vaughn is the lead assistant coach, actually. And he was, you know, he was the head coach of the Nets
for the tail end of last season.
Yeah.
Shout out to Roger Bell.
I think he's a college coach, actually. Thank God.
I remember him, God bless it, Dad. I remember him and Kobe getting into it.
No, he's alive.
No, I'm talking about Kobe. So, like, Kobe and Rajah Bell, like, used to get into it a lot during their matchups. Man, you know, should be interesting, that trade. And, you know, definitely with the Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant coming back from injury. And I think Kyrie Irving is going to be pretty healthy, too. So, Nets in one.
And Kyrie is changing up his media strategy. For this upcoming season,
he's
apparently not speaking to the media.
Shut the
but
fuck
he's
up.
Communicating via writing. So he was supposed to be.
No.
Like official statements.
Blogs. Oh, okay.
Like he was supposed to be available this past week for like a media day, and so instead of like getting on Zoom or whatever with the reporters, he just like sent them a letter, and saying basically he's.
That's
focused
like
on basketball.
That's like a more sophisticated approach from that's like a level up in sophistication from Marshawn Lynch,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, Marshawn at least gave them the respect to show up and say I'm not speaking.
You call that respect? Easily.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
Marshawn was very respectful.
Nah.
He was respectfully disrespectful.
You know why I'm here.
But
I wonder because they have a lot of pressure. I wonder if he's doing that because they have a lot of pressure to do well this season. So. I wonder if he's really trying to stay focused.
I agree. I think that has a lot to do with it. And I don't know that I don't get the impression that it's just him being like a jerk and not wanting to speak. He's just like, nah, I'm not. You guys always misinterpret what I say because the stuff he says sounds crazy. So it's not the reporter's fault. But he's choosing to not let that be a topic this season, which I'm like, okay, great. Let's focus on basketball and win a championship.
We'll see. You know, I mean, this definitely shakes up the Eastern Conference, something serious. We'll see. I mean, I have them as my favorite is, you know, making it out of the Eastern Conference. And obviously the Lakers, I think that's going to be the championship lineup for this upcoming year of basketball. So we'll see. But further along the lines of NBA news, our fearless commissioner, NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, just reported a couple of days ago that the players will not be tested for marijuana usage, which I think is tremendous. And I think he, you know, deserves a spot in our classy humans section of the week. You know, weed is a miracle plant. You know, so I don't think this does not need much explanation. Does anyone have any thoughts in the group?
I mean, he's just staying progressive like the NBA usually is. Getting ahead of what the government's already doing. And I mean, they can't get out and go see their families and women and all that, like, at least give them that outlet. So, all
right, exactly. Based and along those lines, you know, like the government, like, you know, just getting ahead of what government should be doing. The House did rule to decriminalize weed at the federal level, but you know, it still has to go through the Senate. But yeah, man, it seems like more and more the world is waking up to reality, which is, you know, weed should not be banned. It's not a bad drug. Alcohol is way worse. It's awesome. False. Cash says false. Cash, like Cash, believe otherwise. But yeah, shout out to Adam Silver for that announcement, and I hope they don't bring it back because it's just useless.
The NBA is not operating in a bubble though for this upcoming season. Like, everybody's in their home city and playing each other in their regular arenas. It's just that there are no fans. So
yeah, that's kind of, I see like an NFL situation happening there.
Yeah.
But I don't think they could have gotten the players to agree to do a full season in
the bubble like they did. Yeah, you can't do that.
No, I think it was, yeah, they said, I saw an interview with LeBron, I think on his channel, Unfiltered, on whatever it's called. And I think, and he was basically saying it was like 90-something days, like, it was rough. Like, they agreed to it, they were excited, but then when they were playing basketball and they realized the only thing they heard were the scuffing of their sneakers on the court and the ball bouncing, it was creepy. Like, it was uncomfortable. He said it's like going to haunted house.
It's like playing basketball in purgatory.
Yeah, yeah, basically. He's like, it's like your first AAU tournament you ever go into, but at least you had your mom back then. It's like now you're just playing in front of strangers and reporters. So I don't think he'll do that again.
Yeah, but I think that's the setup on the court is going to be about the same for the season. They're not going to be people cheering them on.
Right. Well, I guess now they'll at least get to travel as opposed to, he was like, they put them in reserves, like, don't cross that line. And if you do cross that line, we're going to put you in quarantine. He said, you don't want to be in quarantine in the bubble because that just makes it worse.
Right.
Yeah. You could be like Jimmy Butler just terrorizing the neighbors. His fellow
guests and stuff. Gotta get your workouts.
He was in the news recently, right? I think he's dating someone.
Selena Gomez.
Gomez, allegedly. I don't know how old Jimmy Butler is, and I don't know how old she is, so I don't know.
Aren't they both in their 20s?
Late 20s, I would assume.
Late, I don't know if it's like a 1930. I don't know if it's a Scott Disick situation where he's just fucking around dating teenagers. Shout out to you, Scott Disick. You're a fucking madman.
Nah, I think they're both in their 20s. Late 20s.
Yeah. Cheers to him. Cheers to finding love and all that shit. Tis the season, you know? It's getting cold outside. Baby, it's cold outside. It is a pandemic.
Oh, you know that song is very misogynistic?
It is. It's a little wild. That song is wild. You listen to lyrics.
Stuffing fever.
Selena Gomez is 28.
How old is Jimmy?
31. Yeah. So it's cool. They say never date your age. Never date half your age plus 7. I think that's the rule.
What?
The rule.
That's the rule. If you want to be rocking the cradle, the minimum age is half your age plus 7. That's the rule.
Oh, okay.
That's the youngest you should be dating.
Half your age plus 7. So yeah, makes sense.
To me, that's disgusting. It's all, you know, because what's that? 24. 17. Yeah, we have nothing to talk about. Nothing.
24 years old.
Madness. A shell of
nobody's really ready to settle down in their early 20s like that, man. No. Not in this society, at least.
Nobody knows.
Shout out to Jimmy Butler. But moving right along, because I know we got a lot today to talk through. There was a big fight last night between Errol Spence and Danny Garcia in the welterweight class.
Shout out to Long Island.
In boxing. Shout out to Long Island. But yeah, it was a big fight between Errol Spence and Danny Garcia out in Texas. The fight had a lot of significance for Errol Spence because about a year and a half ago, he suffered a really bad car accident. He was driving his Ferrari, and he got pretty much ejected outside of it and scraped up his face pretty bad. So, you know, when you go through something like that, it's a lot of trauma, probably a lot of PTSD. He made the Ferrari
do a cartwheel.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, you see some of the videos, like the pictures and all that stuff. It was wild. But, you know, I watched the fight last night and he did not miss a beat. Like, he just picked up right up where he left off from his previous fight. And Danny Garcia is, you know, as game as they come. He's a former world champion in his own right. And, you know, in the beginning of the fight, it was, You know, like Danny is known for counterpunching and trying to catch you, right? Like he'll punch with you, like they say that in boxing. Like you punch with somebody who you can't outspeed, right? Just to time them while they're punching. He was doing all that, but Spence was just too much. He was a champion, and he pressed the action. He was the aggressor, caught him with more volume and the better shots down the road. And it was the unanimous decision shutout. So shout out to Errol Spence. And I think now what everyone wants to see, I think one of the bigger fights in boxing outside of Fury versus Wilder is Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford, another welterweight. And he was there in attendance last night too. So I think that's going to be the next matchup. But good fight, you know, and good to see that Errol didn't lose any of his talents as a result of that accident, man. And, you know, I would think that he, you know, been a little gun shy because of, you know, when you go through something like that, you're a lot more cautious than you normally are, you know. So for anyone who cares, either on this chat right now or out there in PDX and the internet, it was a good little scrap. No knockdowns or nothing like that, but you know, if you're a connoisseur of the sweet science, I think you'd enjoy it. But all right,
what's that Errol Spence record? He's undefeated.
He's undefeated. Yeah, he's undefeated. I think he's 27-0 now.
He's a true undefeated.
True undefeated. Like he's fought a lot of game opponents. He fought Mikey Garcia, who was pretty good. He knocked out Kell Brook, which was he was another prominent welterweight. I think he also beat Sean Porter. I think he knocked him out, which is saying a lot because Sean Porter's a dog, man. He's gonna, you know, rush you and maul you and beat you up and then rough you up. For him, so for him to be able to get him out of there was pretty impressive as well. He's one of the pound for pound best, and you know, more power to him.
All right. On the radar then.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But moving right along into, you know, our world events and Rona talk and, you know, social justice. What's going on in with the Rona count at this point? I think the last time I looked, like at least in the States, it was like in excess of 278,000 deaths here in the States at least. So it's getting pretty wild, man. It's getting pretty crazy here in Georgia. I know it's, you know, we're not shutting down again. Like everything's open here pretty much. But what are you guys hearing around, like across the country?
I think on Thursday or so there were over 2,700 deaths just in that one day, which was a new record for the country. So it surpassed like March or April when, you know, New York City was the epicenter, and now because it's so spread out, you know, it's like it's crazy in like 60% of the country, and it's still pretty bad everywhere else. But almost 2,800 deaths in a single day is just unheard of for something that shows no signs of like going down. And I think just yesterday it was still like 2,200 deaths. So it's like it's every day, and every, you know, over 200 new cases a day. So we're definitely in a worse part of it than we were early on. And all, you know, the experts are saying basically like it's only getting worse from here until the vaccine comes out. So for the next however many weeks, and not only does the vaccine have to come out, it has to be pretty widely available.
That's another thing, availability.
Yeah, and they're now discussing like who's getting it first. So we all were saying like, oh, it's got to be the first responders or the, you know, the essential workers. But then there's literally debates now taking place against within the groups that are making the decision as to who gets it. Like, should it be the essential workers, or should it be nursing home residents, since they're the most at risk? Well, in terms of if they catch it, you know, they're the most at risk of actually dying based on their age and pre-existing conditions.
Why not both?
I think, go ahead,
because they don't have enough.
I was gonna say, why not both? But you know,
I think you do have to, like, you know, prioritize a list. I think you do need to focus on the folks who are out there who can treat people and who can take care of people who get sick. So the essential workers should go first. Healthcare, than, you know, like municipalities and things like that. And, you know, folks who work on utility related items such as power and so on and so forth. I think those folks should go first. Right. You got to make sure that the people who uphold society's structure and medical well-being and physical well-being and what have you, I think they need to get the vaccine first. And then obviously the sickly follow right after that. Right. We can't take this ridiculous, if they die, they die approach that we've been taking. Got to have some level of prioritization. So essential workers, sick people. And then if you want to take it, take it. If not, good luck. that's my thought on it. Anyone else?
No, just I agree with kind of the lineup what you're saying as far as like essential workers and healthcare workers, because if they're out in the field and they're out around everybody, you know, there could be potential carriers of corona and kind of super spreaders and not know, because, you know, you could be asymptomatic with this disease, as we all know at this point. As far as like who gets the vaccine, there's like three different vaccines that I think were submitted to, is it FDA for approval? Yeah. So, yeah. So we have a couple different options that are coming out, and all of the companies that have been producing these different vaccines, they have a lot of vaccines to give to start, you know, as far as the beginning of start giving vaccines out. So I think prioritizing essential workers, healthcare workers, and then the vulnerable populations makes sense. And, you know, whoever gets what vaccine, that's the thing that people are worried about too. Is like, do you have a choice? You're not going to have a choice. That's the way I look at it. If you want the vaccine, we're going to give you a vaccine, but whatever's available is what you have to take, especially in the beginning.
All right.
Take your medicine and like it, bitch.
Only kind of counterpoint to like maybe the healthcare workers being the first to get it versus the vulnerable is that, and I don't know if there's research to prove this or not, but is it, if it's the case that a healthy healthcare worker who gets the virus is more likely to survive than someone residing in a nursing home, then I would probably lean towards giving it to the residents in the nursing home so that they're less likely to die, and let, you know, and if the healthcare workers catch it, they get sick, or maybe they don't get sick, they're asymptomatic, but then they just recover, or there's a higher likelihood of them recovering, then I would say, to me, it's kind of skews the other way of like, all right, let's give it to the elderly.
It's hard to cut it either way, because
it sucks that we have this discussion has to be happening, but in the very early stages, like, it seems like that is what
it's just like the PS5s, you know what I'm saying? Like, there should have been prioritization and who should get that shit first, right? And now look, we have a big shortage, so you have to have those discussions.
Wow, that was the craziest
analogy, right? It's awful. But people are dying out here because of the PS5 shortage. I'm kidding. Well, I'm not really. I'm pretty sure there's been a couple of stabbings. It's funny, like, my brother, like, his PS5 finally made it in the mail yesterday. But prior to that, like a couple of weeks ago, it was like being delivered by FedEx, and somebody in the FedEx truck stole that shit because it's selling like hotcakes. Yeah. Like, these things go for $500, but you could resell them on eBay for $1,500, $2,000, you know. It's pretty lucrative. And what a lot of folks are also doing is they're taking it, like, they'll get, like, two or three of them and just do raffles on social media, right? $30, $20, $50 raffles, you know what I mean? And you get your name picked and you get it, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So if you take that and extrapolate how many followers you have, you can make a pretty good penny. Yeah. But yeah, I know, very wayward comparison on my behalf. Obviously, the vaccine is a lot more important. I think we need to make sure that to Boozer's point, really think this out with regard to who gets it first and how, you know, how are we going to roll this out? How are we going to do it? And just availability and product, like that's my biggest concern. Like, whichever vaccine or vaccines we go with, like, how do we put that into mass production? How do we get it to people? How do we make it available in every state for every essential worker? You can't have motherfuckers flying to places to get a vaccine, you know. There's a lot of components to think about there.
I guess we got to figure out like what kind of models are available now, because I know in the UK they approved one of the vaccines to start rolling out at a certain point. And maybe we can look at, you know, where they do well at and where they don't do well at, because it's still going to be some time before we actually start distributing the vaccines around the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think there was a bit of a back and forth between Fauci and some British administrator about, because this guy in England was like talking shit that they were able to authorize a vaccine first before, and he named like three countries, and of course the U.S. was one of them, and he was not just saying like they were first, but that they were better because of that, and right. Fauci like said, like went on the BBC and like and said we, you know, the U.S. has the best stuff, and then I think he went back on the BBC and apologized and said it's not a competition.
It's not. I think
lives are at stake.
Exactly. Fauci's going to be in Biden's administration. I think.
Yeah, he's going to be back doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing.
He should have been doing it. Yeah, it's fucking crazy, yeah. Man. It's funny, like, it's, you know, like we're talking about who should get the vaccine first and who shouldn't. We know there's a particular group of people who probably don't care to get it anyway. You know, those Trump supporters out there, they tend to be, and I'm not trying to make a sweeping statement, rather maybe I am, but, you know, they tend to be anti-mask, anti-vaccination. So, you know, I think we don't have to worry about them. And we appreciate you guys, you know, taking one for the team, so to speak. We greatly appreciate that. But, it's funny, there was actually a rally out in my neck of the woods here in Georgia, Alpharetta, earlier this week. And at that rally, the attorneys for Trump, who's helping him make these ridiculous lawsuits to do recounts in states where he lost by a very small margin. But yeah, his attorneys were out here in Georgia, and they were urging, you know, the Trump supporters not to support Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue in the runoffs for the Senate here, right? So, and they're both incumbent Republican politicians in the Senate. But it's like, hey, you know, y'all are across the board trying to push the cause, and we appreciate you. You know what I mean? You don't want to do the mask, but just don't come around regular people. You don't want to do the vaccine. That'll help from a prioritization perspective. And now you don't even want to fucking vote. So that's even better. You know, just keep sitting this one out. We appreciate you.
Yeah,
Cash, I know that you tend to have a very high opinion on these sorts of things. What are your thoughts?
Today officially is 45 days until the 45th president leaves office. So I just wanted to share that joyful news with everyone.
Month and a half, baby.
Yeah. As for those brave people telling people not to vote for Trump, God bless you. I hope you get everything in life has to offer, you beautiful fucking people. I'm pretty sure you're racist, so fuck you at the same time. Thank you.
Thank you and fuck you at the same time. Respectfully.
Respect.
I love it. Respectfully.
That's right. Y'all throw that in there.
Hello, listeners. This is Jay. You're listening to My Guys on the High Life. I hope you're enjoying the show.
Yeah, man, they're bugging. Like, these people that are, like, against these the vaccinations and, like, wearing masks and all that, man, they are running rampant. There's, like, actually, Portland news, I mean, you know, it's not so good news, but there's a nurse out there who was like, you know, boasting about, hey, you know what, I'm not wearing that shit or making my kids wear that shit, like, when I'm not around, like, when we don't really have to or whatever. There's like she's like an oncology nurse out in Salem, Oregon, and she posted something on TikTok saying that to something to that effect. She said specifically, when my coworkers find out I still travel, don't wear a mask when I am out and let my kids have play dates. So, and I think she was doing like a lip sync to How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And I think now she's on administrative leave. So shout out to you. I don't know. I'm reading the articles. I don't think I saw her name anywhere per se, but they are fucking wild.
I think it was at the end of it.
Yeah.
It was her job.
Yeah, you lose your job.
I don't get it. Like, why would you do that? You think you're untouchable? Like, I mean,
you know what I've been reading? Honestly, some people feel like masks infringe upon their personal liberties. So it's like what I said before a couple episodes back. These people don't really know how to deal with oppression. So the slightest bit of rules, they feel like it's the worst thing in the world. Just where it's not that bad. If you have a problem where wearing a mask and it hinders your life so much, you need to go see a doctor.
Yeah. Ashley Grahams is her name, you know, so yeah. Low life of the week.
Yeah. So that's not a problem. Like, oh, I don't want to wear my mask. I'm like, so go die then. Tell me you want to go play in traffic. That's what you want to do. Go ahead.
It's just crazy. It's like contrarianism for the wrong reasons. You know, I think I saw, like, out in South Dakota, there's, like, some people, again, you know, just quoting the Bible and shit, like, well, God gave us lungs, and it's not intended for us to obstruct the air going into those lungs with a mask. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right.
Yeah, South Dakota, or one of the Dakotas, is, like, the number one, like, highest, like, yeah, rate of COVID
right now. They said one out of 800 people in South Dakota is dead because of COVID.
Yeah.
That's gracious.
Yeah, I mean, so don't do it. Don't wear the mask. I mean, survival of the fittest if you believe in Darwinism, you know? If this is your choice, live your truth and go die and stay the fuck away from me. Thank you.
If you die, you die.
Amen.
It is what it is.
Right. You know, similar to that nurse in Salem who's, you know, saying she doesn't wear it. Yeah. I heard, so Staten Island, right, in New York is the hot spot in terms of, like, an actual borough, like an entire borough.
No.
Right. So
big surprise.
Comes as no shock to anyone. A friend of mine who works at one of the hospitals out there, like, literally sees this every day and hears them talk. Like, basically all the nurses are Trump supporters as well.
No.
And they, as soon as they walk out of the hospital, their mask comes off and they don't wear it, like, out in public.
How you, your job is based in science, but you don't believe in science. That doesn't sound weird.
They want to die.
It's irrational.
Fuck, like Boozer, it's a rational fucking thing. This shit will kill you if you're healthy or not. If you're fucked up, it will kill you. And they're like,
I think it has a lot to do with that tribal mentality that humans tend to have, right? For good, for better, or for worse, right or wrong, idiotic or, you know, genius level, like, sometimes I think we just decide, all right, I'm going to side. This is the group I'm siding with. Right or wrong, I'm riding with them. And I think that's where a lot of this thought process comes to, because it's like you're signing your own fucking death certificate or someone else's by having this, you know, train of thought. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to wear a mask, or I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to. Because it's encroaching upon my rights as a citizen of the United States. What the fuck, dude? You're killing yourself and other people. Right. Wear the fucking mask. Sorry for that rant.
Well, I guess it comes down to leadership as well. So you guys saw that Joe Biden put out that on, I think it was on Thursday. He wants everyone to kind of wear a mask for 100 days. He said just 100 days. He wants everyone just to wear a mask, everyone in the country, because they know that, you know, these vaccinations and stuff are coming out soon. So if people just abide by this, you know, we can lessen the spread. And like Bass is saying, it's basic science. You know, if it doesn't spread, then people don't get it, then it doesn't stay around longer. You know, if you break it down to a basic level, you know, if it's not around, you can't be affected by it. What's so hard to understand about that?
It's because these people view that asshole 45 as the Lord Emperor, Professor Emeritus of whatever fuck you say that word, like Grand Pooba of all things scientific. And it's like, this guy can't even talk and you're expecting him to. He knew it was coming. He said it was very bad. He's on tape and he's still, and he caught the stuff. The only reason he's not dead right now is because he had world-class scientists at Walter Reed that saved him. That's the only reason he's not dead.
Yep.
Because he is a walking comorbidity, from what I understand. So.
Yeah. One interesting thing, and I know this is going to get poo-pooed by everyone who doesn't agree with them, but I saw that the three former presidents still living all agreed to get the vaccine, like, live or to get. Like,
what do you mean still living? What happened to Jimmy Carter dead?
Not Carter then.
All right.
Oh, so, thank God, because I like
Bush.
Him.
Bush,
so
Bush, Clinton, and Obama.
Obama.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, Carter's still alive.
Oh, thank God, he's so nice.
My bad, sorry, Jimmy.
It's okay. He gave up a peanut farm to be president. What a humble guy.
But yeah, they're gonna take the vaccine, like,
random,
in front of a camera, to show people. But obviously, like, everyone's gonna say, well, how do we know it was actually the
exactly, you know, yeah, no, I see the contrary. I think it's a good, it was a good thought, but sometimes you have to think your thoughts out, right?
I mean, yeah. Look, man, like, it is well thought out, and that's the thing, like, with this, like, we just have to stay at home, you know, as much as possible, right? And just less groupings of events that has a bunch of people. Like I was kind of talking about that boxing match last night. It could be a super spreader event too, because I think despite they put in place, you know, restrictions and what have you, there's still like 16,000 people there. It's fucking ridiculous. Like you cannot do that. And like I was going to talk about this story later on in the show, but since we're talking about the coronavirus, like out in New Orleans, Bob Hannaford, he's the owner of this company called Naughty Events, and they have an annual swingers convention. They held that fucking convention, and guess what happened at that convention? 41 people tested positive for coronavirus after that convention. You get what I'm saying? Even though they had certain restrictions put in place and all that stuff, it doesn't fucking matter. If you have that many people there and you're around and you're saying, okay, keep your mask on a certain place, people are not going to listen to that shit. I barely listen to that shit. If I have to, you know, drink something somewhere, something like that, I might leave my mask off for a couple of minutes. The best thing to do is just don't have these big events, man. You know, you just got to bite the bullet. I get it. It's cutting into your revenues and all that stuff, but you know, when lives are at stake, you know, who's to say who dies out of those 41 people? You know what I'm saying? So it's very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. That's why I just stay inside.
Yeah, man, you got to stay inside. You got to stay inside. But
and I hope they give Obama the right vaccine when they do that shit.
Yeah. Well, he'll be fine. Like, you know... I mean, you could put on your tinfoil hat and say maybe they're trying to get him out of there, but you know, he is a former president, so I'm pretty sure he'll get like that, you know, the attention that he needs.
Same vial that Bush gets. That's what I would say. I want the same fucking vial that Bush gets.
Right.
Give me the needle first and give him that same needle after. Boom.
No, that's not how that works. You don't want to share news. No, we're not sharing news. That's not how it works.
Your blood is my blood. The fuck it is, bitch.
No, I'm good. Right, yeah, no. I don't want the same needle. No thanks.
Exactly. But let's switch it up a bit and go into a little bit more entertaining headlines and such. So, Cash, you came across something pretty interesting, a sex jar of sorts. Do you want to expound upon that?
Thank you, Fee, for the
introduction. No problem.
So, I came across on the lovely social media platform Twitter a mason jar, with a bunch of 20s in there, and the premise was basically saying, you know, for every time we fuck, you get $20. Dear Christmas gift depends on you. Love you. And the man, I believe, or human's name is Tizzy. So Tizzy apparently is... So I wanted to bring the topic to the group to say whether or not this was prostitution, seduction, or motivation. So from my vantage point, I see multiple angles of this. I feel like, you know, at some point, I don't think it's prostitution, because the legal definition is you have to not know the person for it to be prostitution. So I'm assuming since there's a jar, they have shared quarters at certain times of the day. So that being said, I think it's a form of seduction and motivation. Like, if you really want that Birkin bag, as these hoes so claim, you're going to fuck for this Birkin bag. You know what I mean? And I think Tizzy's not wrong in this. I think that's their preference, if that's what works for their relationship. I know most females of certain grades and qualities will not co-sign $20 for fucking. They'd do it for $100. I don't know what woman wouldn't. That's just... You know,
everybody got a price.
So I just wanted to hear from each and everyone. No one gets to bow out from this. I just wanted to hear everyone's two cents on this. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Booze, I saw that you unmuted yourself. Let's hear your thoughts first.
That wasn't why, but
I'm picking on you.
Well, I don't know, actually. So now I think Cash may have change my opinion slightly, but when I first saw this, I was like, I don't care how, you know, that it's your spouse or partner or whatever, that shit is prostitution. At the end of the day, if the person who's getting the $20 is agreeing to it, then hey, you know, capitalism, you know, supply demand economy, I don't know, this shit, it works. Everyone's consenting. But I just know that, like, deep down, that's not even that deep down. That is not how a healthy relationship probably works.
Hey, that's relative. That's relative.
It's totally relative. But that's my norm. I'm sorry. That's, you know, that's the world that I live in.
Because if someone put a jar out for me, and every time we fuck is $100, that's my Christmas gift. It might depend what I want for Christmas. That might be three times. It might be every day. I don't know what I want for Christmas.
Put a down payment on a Ferrari.
Yeah, you never know.
Right, and also like that, the image in the Twitter thing was that shit was full. Yeah. That mason jar was like overflowing.
You want a Merry Christmas or not?
Yeah, you do the math on that, dude. Like that's like 36 G's if you do it every day.
I don't know what kind of math that is.
100. Hold on. Let me see if I'm not. Safe instance. No, I'm right. So if you fucked every day and you got $100 every day that you fuck for every day in a year, 300. See, that's $36,500 you have to have
no
at the
end of the year. You say no to that. You're just gonna do it anyway.
What are your thoughts on this, Bass?
Like, you don't know when they started that. Like, you don't know if it's a joke, and even if it is, like.
Let's just assume that it's real. Let's take the hypothetical that it's real. What's your position on it? Is it indeed prostitution? Or do you feel that it's not because they're in a relationship?
No, they're in a relationship, and like Kat said, they were gonna do it anyway. So why not get paid for it? Like, I would want a higher price tag. I probably would want maybe 100, 150 if I was on the other end of that. But I mean, hey, maybe they do it that much. Who knows? Like,
I guess quality has a lot to do with it as well. You know, what acts does that $20 or $100 include? You know, is it from the back? You know, a certain position. Like, let's get into some specifics here. Like, I need to understand that a little more. My bad, Bass. Go ahead.
Maybe that's what they do in that relationship. Maybe it's like a turn on for them. Like, you don't know. Like, you can't judge from the outside. Like, and it was filled up, so.
Yeah. So it's working. I'll go ahead and share my index. My position is that it's still prostitution. I don't give a fuck if you're with the person or if you're not with the person. Prostitution is prostitution. Like, if you're paying for sex, that's the definition of it. Like, you know, specifically, like, yes, you take people out, you show them a good time, you buy them things under the guise of a relationship. But if you're specifically putting money somewhere for someone after they gave you some sex or whatever, that's prostitution. I'm sorry. Now,
thank you.
Whatever. that's
you wouldn't if someone slid you $100 after fucking, you wouldn't take it.
That's a precedent, you know, because I have to do certain things the way that you want it. I might not want to do those things. You know what I'm saying? I am not an object. But I think Booza like alluded to a little bit, like, you know, if you do that, like, that kind of fucks up the dynamics of your relationship too. It's like I said, it sets a precedent. Like, what else can I get for money from, you know, when it comes to services I do for you within a relationship? It becomes just too transactional in my opinion. You know, it should be like, what do they say? It should be organic. You should just do these things because you want to do these things, not because it's payola.
About to lie right now. J.E., what do you think?
Oh, it sounds like a Disney show.
All right, so since I have hanging on this topic, I'm gonna say I agree with some of the statements that were made before me. So if both parties consent to this, then I feel like, you know, all right, fine. Is this, if that's what you're into, good. Do I think it's prostitution? No, not if they're both consenting to, you know, this type of relationship. Some people do have transactional relationships, sugar babies, sugar daddies. Whatever.
I don't mean to cut you off, but right? aren't most prostitutional transactions consensual?
You would hope.
Even if they're not in a relationship.
Like, it sounds like sexual assault.
That is sexual assault. Someone fucking you and taking your money? That is sexual.
Yeah, one's a job. One's a job and you need it for your well-being and living. The other one is just like, I want a Christmas gift. It's a Christmas gift.
I think it's a job in either scenario, in the relationship or outside of the relationship. You're making it a job.
And see what happens.
Yeah, let JD finish. I want to hear the rest of his.
Oh yeah, go ahead, JD. Go ahead, diplomat.
I was just saying, as far as if it's consensual, and you know it's both agreed upon, and it's for a Christmas gift or whatever, and this is something that they do, then I don't see any issue with it. I'm not calling that prostitution because it's an agreed upon thing. Now, when you guys start bringing in different acts and all this other stuff, I don't think that was like a provision of what they had going on.
Sex is a broad thing.
Exactly. So like, anything can count. As far as my interpretation of it, if it's just sex and you get paid, then that's what they're doing so you can get your Christmas gift. So, you know, if it's fine with them, it's fine with them. I'm not saying that's anything that I'm into. Yeah. I'm just saying that's fine with them.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's wrong either. It's like, yeah, do whatever you want to do, but you know, I call a spade a spade.
Hey. I wouldn't see it as a prostitute though. I don't, you know, that hey, that's what they want to do. Good for them.
No doubt. that was pretty funny though when I saw that shit. It's like, what? Solely on you, baby. What else we got going on? Steph is getting his Jordan on under the Under Armour banner. He's starting his own brand, right, Base? What does he call it? Is it called the Curry brand or is it something else?
I thought that's what it was called. I didn't think it was anything else different than that. I think it's pretty cool because he's gonna be doing like he's starting out and he's doing like basketball and golf apparel too, which is gonna be pretty cool. And then they're gonna try to branch out and do like some men's and women's running and performance gear too. So like he's trying to like make a full like expand and like make a full brand underneath the Curry brand, which is cool. I think the symbol looks weird, but I think
the sneakers got any better looking, because like the last couple of pairs of shoes I've seen from them just was trash. I mean, I guess they're probably good for like playing basketball.
I think they're good if you like to wear ankle braces like, because it has the extra like gap for you to like wear those like straps around your ankles if you're that kind of person. But I don't do that. So for me, I don't play basketball on low tops. So, but they look a little better. Not much.
He does need that because, I mean, even though Steph has great handles on his own, I've seen a couple of like sequences where Kyrie would cut his ass up. So
yeah, he wears ankle braces.
He do need them ankle braces. So I guess he fashioning his shoes, you know, to support what he needs. But you know, more power to him. You know what I mean?
I think this is also like kind of a power move on Under Armour's part, because I think they recognize that they've kind of plateaued as a brand in terms of their reach, and mm-hmm. right, because they when they first came out, or I don't know if it was first, but like 10, 15 years ago, they were super popular, and at least if people weren't wearing their sneakers, like they were wearing their apparel, but for whatever reason that's declined. And I think they recognize like, okay, we have like, when he's playing, we have one of the most prolific stars in the game. So let's capitalize on his name. He's still under our umbrella. But we kind of, by giving him his own brand, we take the Under Armour out of it and we still profit basically. We put his name on it. And then we still make bank, and we can change it enough that people maybe won't recognize it unless they dig into it to see, well, who makes the Curries or whatever. But on its face, like you walk into a store, all you see is Curry. There's no association necessarily with Under Armour. And then that's probably a good thing marketing wise for Under Armour.
Yeah. Any other thoughts from anyone else?
So what happened? So I don't know if you heard like what initially happened, like how that kind of started. Well, they said early on he went to Nike. And he was in, like, you know, they were giving the presentation and they were calling him the wrong name, first off. And they showed him a video with Kevin Durant. So they completely blew it, whoever had that project completely blew it. So then his father told him, like, maybe this isn't the company that we should go with. And I think that's how he probably ended up going towards Under Armour.
Yeah, hopefully that person got fired.
Right. That's what I was thinking. He probably got the can rather expeditiously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin Durant, don't even, not lost. Even the same.
What's
like,
up? What's up, Jay?
Complexion, like close to the same height. All
right. What's up, Jay? What are
not
you
at
doing?
All. I was just gonna say something to what Big Boozer just said about Under Armour and their plateau. I feel like where they failed to hit the mark is like athleisure. I feel like every company, New Balance, Nike, even Reebok, all these other companies started making like resurgences. Puma, they made a big run with athleisure. and Under Armour only focused on performance. And I feel like they missed a lot of people when they just focused on performance as far as whoever they had signed as athletes and everything else. They have The Rock and other people now.
I was going to say that.
They're making the transition to try to bring everyone else along. But athleisure's been out for what? I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. People have been wearing like women have been wearing yoga pants.
I swear to God, I was going to say that. I was like, you got a lot of yoga pants at the supermarket.
It's not a bad look, you know what I mean?
Cash has his thumbs up. He supports that message.
Yes. I'm also, I just realized I'm wearing Under Armour joggers right now, so you guys are right.
I have a pair of Nike joggers I'm probably gonna put on today. So you're right. You're absolutely right, Jay. Like, athleisure is a big market for a lot of these athletic apparel companies.
And it's, they should sink their teeth. Athleisure is dad wear. Fully support it.
Because you can't be as flexible in denim, you know, it doesn't lend itself to the awesomeness that athletic leisurely apparel piece would provide.
I agree. Like, I rode about 5 miles yesterday on my bike and, you know, felt like I was chafing a little bit from the goddamn.
That's why if you ever see anybody riding a bike in jeans, you know they did something or they got to do something, you know? Stereotype.
Precisely.
What?
You see somebody in a full fucking sprint in jeans, they about to go do something to somebody? Doing something to somebody? That is my choice.
But no, man, Jay, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, that's the wave now. And Base, you talked about it too, about the fact that, you know, a lot of these companies are plateauing and they're now leveraging the audiences of, you know, popular celebrities or, you know, popular social media personalities to, you know, further their brand, further their revenue streams and diversify things a bit. And specifically one of those social media, you know, just going over to another topic here, Nathan Apodaca, the gentleman, the viral TikTok skateboarder, he's, you know, made a killing just off of, you know, his car broke down and he didn't let that get in his way of getting his job done and doing what he needs to do. And, you know, he posted himself, like, just for folks who have been under a rock, like, he posted a video of himself, you know, skateboarding on the back of somebody else's truck, drinking some Ocean Spray. And now he has, like, you know, a lot of opportunities out the wazoo. Like, I think Ocean Spray bought him a pickup truck, and then they did some more for him. Isn't that right? Or somebody? Well, he, like, from all that money, he's been able to do a lot of stuff, right, Boozer?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how, but he's got a booking agent, and he's like doing like all this stuff now.
He made a big purchase. Did
he? He was able to purchase a house in cash.
Straight cash, homie.
So no mortgage for him. He went from living in an RV to buying like a 5 or 6 bedroom house.
Mm-hmm. Talk that talk, wealth.
And he was in a pretty rough situation. His his eldest daughter during the day couldn't even.
Yeah, whenever she would come over to visit, he had to do the visit like at his mom's house or like another relative's house or something like that, because there's just no room in the fucking RV.
Yeah, no, I think she technically lived with him, but she couldn't like sleep with him like in the RV. Like, there was just not enough space. So she would like spend half the day, 24 hours. Half of it was spent like at her grandma's, her aunt's, and then she would come by him. And so, like, he's saying, like, the biggest thing for them now is, like, just having this space where they can all be together. He's, like, they're all, like, up in, like, on one floor of the house, like, in their separate rooms. And they're, like, holy shit, we can't believe other, like, floor like, to be in, too. Like, it's wild. So, yeah, it was a very feel-good story.
See what happens when you live your truth, guys? That's the message.
It also
live your fucking truth.
Shows the power of, like, these social media platforms. Like, TikTok, it was literally, like, a 15, 30 second video, and it changed his life.
Created hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, like Ocean Spray, I'm sure, got some advertising in it. I think he was able to get a truck out of it. He got mad juice. Now he gets a house. It's just I feel like it's just a great story all around. He would just
never have to pay for a cup of cranberry juice ever again. He'll never have to pay for a cup of cranberry juice ever again. Go ahead.
And then he apparently got new teeth too. He got veneers or whatever. So yeah, he living it, man. All he did was go down the street, risk his life drinking fucking cranberry juice in the skate. I still don't know where the fuck he was going.
He was going to work.
His car broke down. His car broke down, and I think he like hitched a ride with somebody else with a skateboard.
But yeah, I think the track, I forget the name of the song, but I think that played a role too. Like,
yeah, yeah, the catchy Dreams. I think it. Yeah.
Dreams something. Yeah.
Dreams. Yes, that's it. That's it.
So, yeah, man. But what you do when the camera's on can either, you know, change your life in a very positive way, or you know, you could become a pariah too.
Hi guys, you're listening to The High Life Show, hosted by The High and Low Lives and my daddy. Peace, homie, out.
Fire right now because there was some patrons twerking at his
he's
place.
He's a great American, all right?
All right, but yeah, I'm just gonna tee it up for you and give your opinion. But yeah, basically he was, you know, like he owns a restaurant. It's apparently pretty good, pretty popular. Yes,
True Kitchen and Cocktails on Elm Street,
out in Dallas. And some of the patrons were twerking, and you know, like the videos show that at first he was asking them to politely, "Hey, could you stop doing that? You know, this is not the image of the restaurant. And, you know, I don't give a fuck what you do as long as you're not doing anything illegal in my fucking place or whatever." You know, but then, you know, he kept asking nicely, and then he had to ask not so nicely. And that's where things got a little spicy. Ain't that right, Cash?
Yes, that is absolutely correct, Feeve. So my whole thing is, you at a certain point, if you're out in a restaurant, you got to act. You got to behave your fucking self. All right. There's been plenty of times where I've.
He told him, get the fuck out of my
because it's like the first. No, because there's two schools of thought, right? There is, you know, you have to act with a certain level of decorum. Like, this isn't etiquette school. You don't have to eat with your knife and fork. You don't have to have your salad, fork, whatever have you. But sit down in the chair and enjoy your music. Like, I don't understand why, because where that happened, I actually was sitting where I went. There is I don't know if you guys ever seen where you can go up to a picture with wings and you could take a picture so it looks like you're an angel. Yeah. So on the other side of it, that's where he was. He went over to it and said, "Ma'am, you know, I understand you're hearing throw that ass in a circle, and you want to throw your ass in a circle because the song is compelling you to throw your ass in
said
circle."
Might take a long time for her to throw that ass in
said
circle.
And she wanted to brace herself to make sure that the circle was properly formed. I get that. But at the same time, I asked you twice, right?
Third time's a charm.
No, and then it's like, all right, could you not? All right, get the fuck out. And then it's like, okay. But I've spoken about it with my wife, and she's like, you know, you can't really talk to people like that. And I was like, yes, you can.
even if it was the first time he did it, I feel like a lot of what he said was like true, and it was somewhat like restrained, and he was explaining himself like almost like too much. Like he's the owner. He didn't have to give him all those details. But it wasn't the first time. That was the third attempt that he was giving to like let them know like why they needed to stop. Right. So if at that point, yes, he could use whatever fucking language he wanted to get his point across.
I got a little something to say here. I think we live in an era now where it's like, yes, we're making breakthroughs in a lot of areas where you talk about social justice, you know, political correctness, tolerance of, you know, other ways of life that isn't as conventional and what have you. But I think what we have here is just a case of, you know, the reaction being a lot more, being taken a lot more negatively than the actual offense, right? Because like a lot of people get mad at the reaction as opposed to the original offense. Like to y'all's point, if I'm telling you this is my restaurant, I'm telling you that behavior is not acceptable and you're not fucking listening to me, then yeah, I do have a right to say, yo, get the fuck out. Now I'm telling you to get the fuck out. That's like the Chappelle Show, right? When fucking Rick James is kicking the shit out of the couch. Yo, what the fuck are you doing? Get down. Get off my fucking couch. Stop kicking around my fucking couch. This is my crib. Get the fuck out. My bad. Go ahead.
But no, so I just wanted to say, fuck your couch.
Right. Fuck your couch, expletive. Go ahead, Cash.
No, because I would say, like, just to add some additional context, right? He is a black entrepreneur. He's an attorney. He purchased, like, an historical building, I think, for, like, $2 million downtown Dallas. He had to put over $1 million in it and added renovations. One side is supposed to be the restaurant where it happened, and the other side is he's doing a club. So his first instinct, I guess, as an attorney, is he sees that girl with the hand on the glass, and he immediately thinks if she falls through, it's a lawsuit.
Yeah, and she definitely would have sued.
Right, and she definitely would have sued because, oh, the window was loose with your heavy ass pressing on the glass, that the glass ain't supposed to be pressed on like that, you know? So that's just my whole thing is you wouldn't do that in another type of restaurant if it wasn't particularly black-owned or minority. You wouldn't.
The music was different.
No, you're not gonna do that in Del Frisco's. You're not gonna do that in Maestro's. You won't even do. You might do that shit in Red Lobster if you're kind of ignorant. I don't know.
Hey, Cash, to play devil's advocate here, to your point, they may not have. You said that they probably wouldn't have done it in a different restaurant, which leads to show if it's a different atmosphere or a different music playing. So maybe to play devil's advocate, maybe should he think about the type of atmosphere that he's providing, the type of music he's providing to make people behave in such a way that he doesn't agree with. Should he look into changing his playlist?
That is fair. But at the same time, you know, you have to let people be adults. Like, if I want to go out, drink Douce on strawberry hustler drinks, who are fucking phenomenal. And then if I hear like Dirty Wine or something like that, I'm not looking for a girl to go dance on in the middle of a restaurant. Like, I have fucking self-control.
Bend over, baby. That's my
right.
song.
No, for real. It's like, it's a restaurant, right? Like you said, like the other side of the restaurant, which it sounds like it's not complete or is not open yet, is going to be a club. It's not a club right now.
No, it's not.
You're in a restaurant.
Right.
Like, I don't care what the music, you know, the vibes are telling you to do. You're sitting down eating.
Because I get the vibes. The vibes are there. I understand the vibes. Right. You know, I've been places where I've danced in the middle of Fulton Street downtown Brooklyn because somebody was playing something from Booch Bands or something. I get that. But I was walking in the street. It might be worse than a restaurant depending on your...
There's no glass to fall through.
Yeah, you know, you just, hey, what the fuck? Everybody, okay, I don't know why everybody's partying outside of this makeshift store downtown Brooklyn, but hey, I'm partying too. So, Base, what do you think? Base supports Black-owned businesses.
I think both sides are at fault here, but the business owner is always going to be more in the wrong. Like, you...
Customer's always right, yeah.
Yeah, like, you told
until
them...
they're wrong.
To... Huh?
Customer's always right until they're wrong.
Yeah. So, he told them to stop. They should have stopped. But then the way he came back and the kind of like chauvinistic and the male toxicity, like the way he was talking was very much like respect yourself and blah, blah, blah. And he was getting
And why is that bad?
Respect yourself? That's not the, how do you, like, what is he basing
Don't shame me.
What is that basing on? The fact that your ass is shaking in the middle of a restaurant.
You clearly don't respect yourself. Why can't you do that?
What type of shit?
No, I'm asking though, why is that a bad thing? Because
it's a restaurant. It's not a club.
And he made up that he's saying don't be sexual.
Oh, come on. You're saying the idea that you're not supposed to dance in the middle of a restaurant?
It's him saying like, oh, respect yourself and sit down and be a nice woman.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
And have a little decorum. So like I guess what Bass is getting at here is like, it's like kind of like, what are you trying to say sort of response? Like, what are you trying to call me? Like, you know, is my twerking suggesting that I'm a
whore? Was a guy, would he have done that?
But I get,
it's a suggestion. Like that's, I'm saying, like it's like the implications behind what he's asking them to do, and it matter than what he's asking them. The implications behind that is what's offensive to the twerkers.
But I feel like in that response, like his response, in a different setting would have, I can see the like misogyny and
If they were like in a legitimate club. But,
legitimately, like there is no place in a restaurant for that type of behavior.
You should not be throwing,
like,
your ass.
That's
in
my
circle.
Thing. Like,
where your food is, your ass is up.
That's
in
like
the
twerking
air.
In church.
We don't know if you're farting.
Yeah, again,
you're getting fucking dust particles all over my fucking food and shit. We don't know what the fuck is going on. You know what I'm saying? We don't know if you wiped your ass that day. You want to throw your ass in a circle up high in the air where that all that shit can just sprinkle everywhere. It's bad.
Sorry. Also, I feel like in the video that he showed, like where you could see other tables, like the other tables are looking at them like, what the fuck are you doing?
Because we've all been there where you we've all been there. You're at a club, you whatever. Everybody's having a good time, and then someone's taking it to an extra level. Where
standing on top of the table.
Yeah, you dance on top of the table, or this girl's dress is above her head, and now it's like, okay, I don't know. Are we all witnesses to something now? Do we have to leave? We've all been.
Yeah, your dress is over your head. I'm out. It's time for me to go home. I don't need to stick around and see what happens next.
J.E., do you support women freely throwing their ass in a circle, regardless of the locale?
The venue?
Well, I'm going to say this. I went to a restaurant in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. It's a Caribbean restaurant. Miss Lily's Cafe. You guys know it?
Shout out to them. Yep, Kelvin's
love that place. Just,
yeah.
Drinks are tremendous.
Good place, right? Good food. But they have like a little, and you know, most restaurants have birthday celebrations. They play the song and stuff, whatever. So they play a birthday song. I can't remember the name of the artist, but it's like a trap song. It goes, like, fuck it up for the birthday, bitch. It's a wild song. It's okay. A wild song. Right. And they come out, everybody's dancing, everybody's popping. They got the sparklers.
Throwing
like,
that ass in a circle.
Listen, it's the same kind of vibe that was going on there that they had going on, but it wasn't COVID. So you know, that's the only difference. So you know, if that's what your atmosphere allows, then I would say I would agree with Bass. Then you know, why not? At certain levels, to certain things, I get that what you guys are saying. So I guess I got a more moderate view on it. You know, I can see both sides, but I guess that's where I play most of the time anyway. So
no, because yeah. My thing is, you can carry on and enjoy yourself, but the like, if you notice in the video, everyone else was eating.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing in the restaurant I went to. That you know, they do a birthday celebration. Everyone's eating in the restaurant. Everybody hears the song. Come on, everybody starts to move a little bit. But you know,
it was making him
the song cuts out, then it's over.
Yeah, I think.
But to Bass's point, I feel like some people were seeing like, okay, and to Fee's point as well, I feel like that clip made it seem like he was talking down to them.
He was.
And I felt like that was. I see how, okay, you know, black people don't have a lot of places to go. You can't be doing this type of stuff. I'm making this for you. This is for the culture. If you don't want to do this stuff. And I see you turning up your nose to that stuff. But I don't really. But at the same time, if that was the first thing he said when he came over, I'd be like, all right, you're doing too much. If that was his first interaction with them, I'm like, bro, you're doing too much. But if it's like, hey, sit down. I really want you to sit down, like, enjoy yourself. I don't want you to get hurt. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. Like, look, you clearly don't respect yourself. So get the fuck out.
Yeah, I think you know that old saying, two wrongs don't make a right, but it tends to make comedic gold applies here. Like, obviously you're in a fucking restaurant, you shouldn't be dancing and twerking and all that, people fool around and all that shit. Yeah. And so you're a danger to yourself and other people.
So to be mature, I think that he was right, but he could have taken, I guess, I understand why he spoke like that and he was justified for speaking like that, but I am learning too as an adult. There are certain ways that you have to go about carrying out your message.
Yeah. It's like, it's not always what you say, it's how you say it.
Yes.
And he should, like I said, you know, think about the sort of atmosphere you're providing. You know, think about the music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, at a very low
hanging fruit, if you don't want people to twerk, don't play twerk music.
But at the same time,
so it's on both sides. Music. Yeah, if I'm listening to twerk music and I'm in a restaurant and I'm like sitting down, this ain't the bar, it's not the lounge area of the restaurant, I should not get up and start dancing. I probably shouldn't do that. You know? But also, I probably shouldn't be screamed at like that too. But at the same time, he did, and it's evidence that shows that he went over there about three times.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're not understanding me at a calm, at a one, how you feel about a five?
You have to communicate, you know, to people in ways that they understand. Like, right. Clearly, you don't understand me being polite and mature about it. So how about this? Get the fuck out. Right. Yeah, but I do feel some people were offended. How are you going to respect yourself? Because I guess it was, like, multifaceted. I mean, and right now, the restaurant's doing better than. But I do feel, like, going back to that initial point, people felt like he could have said what he said without saying, oh, you don't respect yourself and talk. I didn't feel like he was talking down to, because I'm not, like, kind of like when Joe Biden said, oh, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. Like, I'm not that person that you are talking to. So I don't get offended. I know how someone could get offended, but I don't feel like it's anything for me to take offense. But you can't tell people what to feel. So
you can't tell people what not to get mad at. You can't get mad at the clap back. Shit like
so
that.
So moral of the story is, sit your ass down when you hear them song and shout out to Megan Thee Stallion.
I like it. Going right along with, like, the fact that, you know, certain music elicits certain responses out of people. Spotify just released the year-end results of, you know, how many artists, what artists got, like, what streams and whatnot. I mean, me personally, I'm like, was somebody playing some music?
Oh, sorry, that was an accident.
No, it's
okay. He still got ringtones.
taking it back to 2007. But no, like, it was interesting to see. I mean, you know, if that's your sort of thing, but, like, how many streams, like, a lot of people are posting, you know, their top five songs, I believe. And then they also showed how many streams artists got and how many plays they got and where, how many countries they were and all that stuff. So it was that was a pretty interesting metrics to see, if that's that sort of thing that you care about. Right, Cash?
Okay, yeah, no, so I thought this would be like a good way, because I know we always give out music recommendations and stuff like that, but I felt like this would be a good way to actually show and showcase what we all actually listen to, I guess, from that particular streaming. So I know that I don't have Apple product, and no one else should in the world, quite honestly, but I do know Apple does their own sort of version. So I just wanted to share my top five artists that Spotify says I do. So, 1 second, let me pull that up. I don't know if anyone has theirs. Let me just... Yeah, I tell you, I'm number one in the world for Pop Smoke. I'll tell you that. I know that. So, yeah, so my top artist is five. It's Pop Smoke, it's Rumor, St. John, Beyonce, and Drake. Basically, I've been listening to those. My top artist, I'm in the top 5%. Rest in peace, Pop Smoke. Brooklyn, you know what it is, The Floss. And my top song of the year was Christopher Walken. It's self-explanatory. The song's fucking fire. And yeah, so I just wanted to just share that, put you guys onto some good music. Yes.
Good stuff. I didn't particularly do it myself. Like, I don't listen to my stuff on Apple Music, you know, for the Android fans out there. I would probably say it probably consists of a lot of Rick Ross, Fabulous, Kanye West, a lot of old school shit, Cooking Soul and all of that. If I did do it, that'd probably be, and a lot of lo-fi hip hop beats and stuff like that. So mine's a lot less interesting than others would probably be.
I just want to share the fact that my top five songs includes three show songs. Number two is Show Yourself from Frozen 2. And number five was What's My Name from the Descendants soundtrack. I think it's Descendants 2. So this just goes to show that my Spotify is connected to the Google Home in the living room, and my daughter controls that shit. I was actually surprised by this. My number one song is from the Hamilton soundtrack.
I'm not surprised.
Wait for it. I literally did listen to that song on repeat, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised. And then the first actual like real song, I would say, is Stormzy, Own It, and Dealer by Rumor. And that's my top five.
Good stuff. Anyone else?
I don't use Spotify, so.
What Amazon say? They don't give you a year-end wrap-up?
I don't think so. Jay's trying to sign on.
Yeah, I got mine. Yeah,
talk about his.
I thought he had something. Yeah, I can give
his
you
love
like
for Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, yeah, she's on my top list of artists that I listen to. So Apple has put together my list, and I've listened to, according to them, 993 different artists. So I listen to a little bit of everything, and I don't just say that. It's the truth. But mostly I listen to, as far as top artists, I got Drake, Kanye, J. Cole, Jay-Z, Big Sean, Disclosure, some Gambino, The Eagles, The Weeknd, and Taylor Swift, like Bass alluded to. I like Dua Lipa, Rihanna, a little bit of everybody, man. I like good music. If the music sounds good, I'm going to listen to it. And, you know, I don't. As far as like favorite song, I don't know what my favorite song was this year. I didn't look at that information. But as far as my artists, I'm not really surprised as far as who was I listening to and how they aggregated this list. So, you know, check those artists out, man. Listen to everything. Don't box yourself in when it comes to music. You're going to miss out on something.
Yeah, don't segregate your ears. You heard?
Right.
Shit crazy. That shit crazy. You know what else crazy, though? Like I know we're like going like across the spectrum, across like different topics here and shit like that. But a lot of fucking rappers are killed or getting locked the hell up. Like I saw G Herbo just got jammed up, and then just most recently, fucking Casanova two times from Brooklyn, like him and like his whole gang of apparently allegedly like they, you know, were doing a lot of racketeering and drug selling. I think they like they're putting them like the FBI like has them, you know, killing like a 15-year-old kid or whatever. But just recently, Casanova turned himself to the cops, man. So. Shit crazy. I think they were also like some of them were like apparently allegedly scamming, you know, like a lot of people like scamming unemployment to get paid because of COVID and all that stuff. So
yeah,
crazy out here, man.
Jail time.
You going to jail now?
Oh well. Yeah. Well, hopefully they had a good run.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Because, you know, I just felt bad. I'm like, because from my understanding is when you get a federal case, it's not, they know.
They have like a 98% chance of like 98% record of conviction or something like that, right? So they want you to go. Somebody's going down.
Yeah. Right. God bless you.
Indeed. Anything else before we get into the classy humans and low lives section?
Nah, I'm good.
Let's get into it then. I mean, I mentioned him earlier on in the show, but shout out to Adam Silver again, you know, for being progressive, lifting the testing restrictions on marijuana usage in the league. I think, you know, there's studies that show that stuff helps you rehabilitate sore muscles and all that stuff too. I mean, definitely CBD does for sure. So I don't see why you're making people not do it. A lot of people may not agree with, you know, because of his outlook on certain things and his position on certain topics. But LeVar Ball, I think, deserves to be a classy human too.
LeVar?
I agree.
LaMelo just made it into the league. He just got drafted to Charlotte Hornets. Lonzo Ball has been in the league for a couple of years now. And I think DeAngelo is now in the league as well. So all three of his sons are in the NBA. And that's saying a hell of a lot for a black father, because there's a lot of, you know, negative connotations that come along with being a black dad. So cheers to him. Say what you want to say about the man, but all of his children, you know, are doing what he said that they would do and doing what they want to do. And I think that has a lot to do with him raising them and you know, keeping them on track to do what they're supposed to do. So shout out to LeVar and my boy Bass. He posted this article, but another classy human we want to acknowledge is Blackish's Marsai Martin. And I think she's like on the right track to become, in my opinion, she already is a media mogul. You know what I mean? So I think she has like a lot of Emmy nominations and all that stuff. And she's doing a lot of great things. I think she's only, 16 years old, based?
Yeah, she's the, in the world, has the world record for the youngest exec producer for the movie recorded in 2019 called Little. I don't know if you've seen it. It was like
the Hurricane. Woman...
Huh?
Was Issa Rae in that one?
I think so. It was like when this person woke up and they were like in their younger body.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the one. Yeah,
I think Regina Hall, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Yeah.
Regina Hall as well. Yeah,
she becomes Regina Hall when Regina Hall was a kid, and Regina Hall is like a big successful executive. So, shout out to you, young lady, and keep it going. You know what I mean?
Black excellence.
That's right.
Any other classy humans before we move on to the low lives?
Myself.
There you go.
Big part of like pushing Texas to become blue. We feel you, Cash. Keep doing your thing, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes you gotta celebrate yourself, you know.
Yes. There you go.
You gotta be your own biggest fan, you know.
Yep, definitely.
Low lives of the week. I kind of touched on the nurse from Oregon again already. Shout out to Ashley Grimes. No, fuck you. You one of these people that's out here that's, you know, pushing these case numbers to keep going up. So fuck you. I kind of probably should have acknowledged these folks as classy humans, but you know, they still in the low lives anyway. But like that, those guys out in the Trump rally, those lawyers and whatnot. You know, the hell with you all. Any low lives we want to acknowledge before we keep going?
Rudy Giuliani, fuck you now and forever.
Like, they're looking into, like, pardoning, like,
yeah. All you non-mask wearing people, fuck you also.
Facts.
And I want to give a classy human shout out to all the healthcare workers, all the essential people, especially those in the nursing homes and all that stuff, taking care of those assisted living people. Shout out to you guys. It's really fucked up that, you know, what's going on right here. So shout out to you guys, too.
Help is on the way. Vaccine's coming. People are starting to change their mind.
Shout out and classy human shout out to the plastic surgeons. Y'all know what it is, BBLs. Sometimes gyms don't work.
I'm glad you did. Y'all see what the fuck, like, fucking Funkmaster Flex, what he did? with that liposuction.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's who that was? I couldn't figure out who it was.
Yeah, that's Flex.
Flex. For those who don't know, he's a very popular DJ, pretty much, you know, more so known in the New York tri-state area. But, yeah, he posted a video of, like, you know, I think he was still awake while they were doing it, too, but they just numbed him up.
He was numbed up. Like
crazy. Yeah, that's what I said, numbed him up. They stuck, like, this tube in, like, his underarm region and sucked out all the fat. It's like a liposuction. It was like a live liposuction. It was fucking disgusting. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I get it. Some certain people need that shit, but I don't need to see that, man. And it's like, now I can't unsee it.
Right.
Ugh, so, and then he also posted like the containers with all the blood and the fat in there, and it just looks. Go to the gym, work out, eat right, drink water. Don't do that shit if you don't have to. But anyway, I guess that brings us over to quote of the week, right? Yeah. So at first, I mean, I had a couple of quotes here, but like right before we started recording, Cash pointed out a quote that was behind me where I'm recording right now. I'm not home. I'm at my girlfriend's house. But it's a quote called while I breathe, I hope. I don't know who exactly could be credited to that quotation, but I think it's very simplistic. And what I take it to mean is, you know, if you're alive, and you're aware and you're cognizant, you have your mental faculties, then there's still hope to change whatever it is you got going on, or to work towards whatever it is that you want to work towards, or whatever positive aspirations that you may have in life. I think, you know, that's what I take it to mean. And it's a really nice quote. So shout out to whoever came up with that one. You heard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good quote for the week, man.
Word. Little positivity among all the madness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, necessary.
We appreciate the support, man. We really do. You know, this is something, we're in December now, so we're nearing the end of the year. And we appreciate, you know, the folks who keep rocking with us, keep listening, you know, following us on social media, checking out our content, wherever it may be, whether that be Shady Pines Radio, whether that be Spotify, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you consume your content in IndieTube. We appreciate the support. Keep checking us out. Keep listening. And, you know, as we go along, we'll get better. You know, none of us, there's no career path for podcasting or radio. Well, maybe in radio, it definitely is. But, you know, we do more so long form conversations. So there's really no straight and narrow path for you to follow when it comes to this stuff. And I'm saying that to say that, you know, we're learning as we're going along. We're evolving, you know, and as time goes by, we'll add more nuances to the show. More things to the show, more guests, more interviews and all that stuff. And again, we appreciate y'all rocking out with us. So just continue to check us out on Shady Pines, you know, wherever else, you know, you can find us. We're on Instagram, hi_n_low_lives. You know the vibes, you know what I'm saying. We appreciate you for rocking with us. That's the gist of what I'm saying. And I've been talking a little too long here, so I'm gonna shut up. Appreciate y'all, and yeah, man, that's it. That's all we got for this week. So we hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, y'all take care and just continue to be great, be powerful, be blessed, and we out of here.
Out.
Peace.